You're listening to episode 11 of the podcast featuring Twitch partner Duty Beard. Welcome back, everybody. In today's podcast episode, we have the amazing Duty Beard, who is a Twitch partner, who's going to be teaching us all about how he used different techniques when attending conventions to bring exposure to his brand and didn't just fall under the category of just handing out a business card that would end up in the bottom of the pile. You can find out all that and more, including his journey, coming right up, guys.
You are listening to the Content Experience Podcast, the podcast for those wanting to learn more about all aspects of content creation and streaming. Each week we sit down with some of your favourite streamers to get to know the story behind the stream and what advice they would give to help build your dream career in content creation. All this with your host, taco lover, sci-fi geek and award-winning tap dancer, the Mike James.
So thank you everybody for tuning in. Today with me is Twitch's own Duty Beard. Duty, would you like to go ahead and give everybody a quick introduction to who you are?
Yeah, I'm Duty Beard. I like pizza. It's good and good for you. It's a good breakfast, some would say. I run the loudest party on Twitch. I like weird games, indie games, scary games, VR and Nintendo. And I hope to bring a lot of what I have in here to my screen, but like everybody struggles, it's tough bringing it out. But that's me, that's who I am, and that's me.
So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you've been streaming recently on Twitch?
Well, for a while, I feel like a new chapter came to the stream when the new Smash came out, because Smash was a huge influence for me on starting to stream the old iterations. When Smash Wii U, I don't know if that's the right word, by the way. I pretend to know a lot of big words sometimes. like iteration. I don't know if that's the right thing I'm thinking of. Wii U was announced, and that's when I learned about Twitch, long story short. And I was in bands a long time ago, and I figured, you know, I could do this. To actually answer your question, leading up to Smash Ultimate, I was trying to find the scariest games. I was trying to find the weirdest games. I was trying to find the indiest games. And then focus kind of changed to prepare for Smash Ultimate, Kingdom Hearts. I'm finding that if I aim myself towards some new games that come out, it can work out in my favor. And it took a long time to get that. I kind of stayed off games like Fortnite for a really long time because I didn't think I would grow. But I really enjoy playing those weird indie scary games as well. And I think I've cultivated an audience that enjoys that as well. I recently got an Oculus, so I added VR, weird indie scary into it. And then since I'm not the best Smash Brothers player in the universe, I can always improve, but as far as being like the best, I don't think it's going to happen this version of the game. So I want to go back into weird and indie and scary and retro and to my roots, but I do love Smash. It's still my main game. You know, I still love playing it, and my community loves the crap out of it.
Yeah, I mean, Smash is we were talking to somebody else last week, Kevy, who is also a big Smash player, and he's also a Smash coach as well. Definitely seems like it's a great game, and it seems like it's got a fantastic community too surrounding.
Yeah. Another thing I'm trying to do. I'm sorry. Did you want to continue?
No.
I was going to say another thing I am trying to do is start thinking outside the box with specials and stuff. Recently, we announced a musical that we're doing. It's going to use the music of Twitch Sings just to keep that relevant bridge connected. But it's going to be an original narrative with our own writing and our own scenes. Our own, you know, we're making a lot of our own with it. And a lot of that was actually boosted by one of the Silly Boys Convict, because he really changed focus and started doing a lot of game shows. and that kind of stuff. And I like that a lot. I like that a lot. And a big thing that you see on Twitch now is Trainwreck and Raj and other people doing podcasts, and like yourself, you know, you got Owl. I think you did Gothic's model recently. Is that right?
No. I've done New Owl, Ashley Christ.
Who am I thinking of?
I've done Ashley Christ, Kevy,
and someone else. Yeah, that's it. But yeah, I think the podcast aspect is great. The social aspect and game show, if you will, you know, aspect is really awesome. And I think all of these thinking outside the box techniques and, you know, shows and stuff are really what the platform needs. I used to tell my creative friends, you should be streaming that on Twitch. You should be writing your music on Twitch. You should be making your costumes on Twitch. And now people are doing it and people are finding the accessibility of it. And I think that's, as far as streaming in that sense is, you know, what I'm streaming or looking forward to doing is, you know, matching just my influences of my audience. So,
yeah, I mean, I definitely want to touch upon your show idea and everything a little bit and talk about shows, because I agree we need a lot more shows on Twitch. But let's take the audience back in time. Let's step inside the TARDIS. I don't know if you're a Doctor Who fan.
I'm not all the way through it. Don't be mad at me, but I've seen all of David Tennant. He's the best. I got Owl into the 2005 Doctor, at least the one who, you know. But yeah, heck yeah, let's do it.
So
bigger on the inside.
Jump into the TARDIS and let's fly back in time and let's go to the sort of. Before the land, the Twitch before time. I don't know if you've seen Land Before Time. It's a good animated film.
Of course.
Yeah. But let's go to the Twitch before Duty Beard. And let's talk about your journey before Twitch. Like, did you do any sort of content? I know you said you're in a band. Before Twitch, did you do any sort of content with a band, or was it?
Well, since we're going through the time machine, let me show you at the viewfinder thing.
It's very, very green.
It's funny that we're talking about bands. I always brought up my Twitch like the way that I brought up my band and the other bands that were more successful around me. And this is in 1999 to like 2008, that chunk of time. This was pre the internet. You can host your music everywhere you want. You know, we had one site. We had mp3.com to host two songs unless you paid for the thing, which, you know, no one had the money to do that in high school. Two songs, and that's all you got. And we were local. I mean, it wasn't like it's hard to compare it to with our circle being so strong, and I say our, like, you know, your channel and networking community and mine and Owl's and the Venn diagram, as you know, that goes along with it. Mm-hmm. I was in bands. I was in a ska band, and we got rid of the horns, and, you know, we were a metal band after that, and with ska tendencies, and we toured with the Vagabonds, and the Vagabonds grew up to be the Flaming Tsunamis, Royal City Riot, and a bunch of, I think one of them is in Big D in the Kids Table right now. A lot of bands. So they all, you know, a lot of experience, and, you know, that's all you had was promoting yourself in those ways and not to seem like you were too pandery, which is just totally relevant. When I found out about Twitch, I just used those values of growing in a local band, and they really matched up. And when I started Twitch, it was before affiliation. It was before monetization really, the monetization meteor really hit, you know? Affiliates weren't even allowed to get bits yet. We didn't even have sub buttons it was just before you even got an emote. It was I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was just bits first. I don't even remember. That's how long ago it seems. You know, things have changed so much in a year and a half. But as soon as I got affiliated, I bought stickers. I bought my logo stickers. It's gonna take too long for me to bend and find them for your show. I bought my logo stickers. I bought enamel pins. I started I started, you know, reaching out the way that my band did. You get some light merchandise for yourself and you just give it out. I went to Warped Tours, three back-to-back Warped Tours. The middle one, my car broke down, so I only made it to two. But we handed it, I bought 1,000 stickers, and kids in line for autographs and stuff, we would just go up to them. We streamed backstage because we had backstage, you know, everything for the couple of days because of my job. And we just went to the kids. We're like, hey, would you like a sticker? Would you like a sticker? And listen, you go to Warped Tour and you ask kids if they want a free thing. No questions asked. Yes, they're going to take it. Would you like a sticker? Yes, please. And then kids are bunching around. Sticker? Is there stickers? Someone's giving out stickers over here? You know, and with the logo like Duty Beard and with the name like Duty Beard, it's a silly thing, which I like. Everybody is like, Duty Beard. You instantly get that reaction. And, you know, you just say, yes, I'm a Twitch streamer. I play video games. I play a lot of Smash. Blah, 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 blah. I 100% use those, my past values, to future self. That being said, again, to go back and answer your questions, I answer questions like Bernie Sanders. what else besides the band thing? When I was living in LA, I really got the bug before I started streaming. I got the work bug, like, you know, be productive and things will go your way. I wasn't like that before I moved to LA, and it really helped to get that boost, that motivational boost, being surrounded by everybody who was doing exactly that. That taught me to do things now, to not wait, you know, like if you're a solo guitarist and a producer is going to produce your music, but he doesn't have the time, you know, like go and find a new producer. It's a weird example, but just all my past has been work, has been working 50-hour work weeks at restaurants, finding my hobbies and my content, even my band and stuff in my spare time. Just, I guess, the past of motivation was just trying to climb out of that and teaching myself that, like, now is the time. I think I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. and you mentioned something quite useful in there, actually. So you said that you took, like, what you learned, you know, trying to grow your band and handing out freebies. Like, how did you go about... Obviously, you knew to do that because you did it with a band. But what was the sort of general... I mean, you mentioned it, you touched upon it a little bit. What was your general reaction to handing somebody, say, a sticker or a pin, and then sort of saying, oh, like, how did you link that in with, like, oh, I'm a Twitch streamer, come and follow me on Twitch, that sort of thing?
Well, I know I was a band, you know, me being a band guy, I know the demographic of Warped Tour. I know that it's generally young. I know these kids have, if they have an interest in video games like I did, then they have time for them. It's either the range goes from they have time for them to they love them. You know, it's always in between there. I knew that. Also, I knew I was going backstage way beforehand. I knew with that kind of, also, I'm the one guy talking on his phone the whole Warped Tour, you know? I'm like the one dude who's like, hey, yeah, how you guys doing? And I, you know, I'm wearing a big yellow jacket. I knew I would pop a little bit, like visually at Warped Tour. And I knew it would have a effect. I knew it wouldn't be negative. I knew it would either be neutral or positive. And I knew that people would be, you know, would be accessible because nobody was promoting their Twitch like that. No, I've never seen anybody go to a non-Twitch thing and promote their Twitch. Hell, I don't see a lot of people promoting their Twitch at Twitch events, you know? I see a lot of people like, I don't want to sound like that, you know, and that's okay. But, you know, I made it a point to go to this, to go to these events, to grow my Twitch, to take my, you know, my, the, you know, I, my backstage access and kind of use it in that direction. I used to, when I was a starting streamer, I used to be right on stage for Real Big Fish, streaming them on stage and five viewers, you know, without any kind of promotion, you know, there's nothing that goes with that. And yeah, you know, I would be like, I'd hand them the sticker. Hey, I stream video games. I'm going to be on stage later streaming, you know, Attila. I'm going to be on stage later streaming this band. And yeah, it's just, that stuff just helped. That stuff just really helped. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't trying to flaunt, but I was trying to promote and be like, yeah, you know, now the, now people know about Twitch that it's accessible to get to the streamer. So if I were to do something like that again, I think it would have an even bigger positive impact. Although, you know, there's no more Warp Tour, so.
could you possibly take that to something like another event, like any, well, any streaming mm-hmm. or gaming event, and just be like, especially an event that isn't, you know, I mean, it would probably work great in TwitchCon, but I imagine that would probably work quite well at an event like, I'm trying to think, like PAX, for example, where you are going to have like a big influx of streamers and gamers and things, but yeah. not so streaming focused, where literally everybody is handing out, you know, like business mm-hmm. cards. So like, business cards are great because you can get hold of the streamer. But if you go to somewhere like PAX and you have some pins, some stickers, and some cards, yeah. and you sort of hand them out, and then you'd be like, oh, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be live later doing this, doing that, whatever. Then, you know, people are going to get, you know, oh, they're going to come home. Oh, I got this freebie. So what was the freebie that you got? Oh, it was
exactly.
some guy called Duty Beard on exactly. who's a Twitch streamer. So, you know, they're going to go and check you out, and then they're going to follow and come to your stream, hopefully. So that's definitely a unique, we've not really heard that before on the podcast, you know, the whole handing out yeah. stickers and things.
Concerts and that kind of stuff is also a passion of mine. Because again, because of my job in LA, I was able to get right in front, right to the band. Like, I didn't have to go through anything. I didn't have to go through any management. I didn't have to go through anything. I was just like right up with the band. Can I, you know, am I, you know, and it was either, am I able to get access for the show? Yes. Or we already got you access. How many pluses do you need? It was, you know, it was, I'm lucky. I'm very lucky. And because I'm not in LA now, I know some people who are in that position to do that. So I've passed the torch. I've said, here, these people will hopefully hit you up, you know. Use it to an advantage with your stream. Like, ask if you could stream them, and you know, this kind of stuff. I had Bryce from the Spill Canvas in my apartment when I was in LA doing Jackbox. You know, I had Beartooth and Attila send me signed records and instruments to give away for charity. And all that stuff helped me grow a ton. Now I have, you know, good relations with all these bands, and me and Owl are trying to figure out lots of crossover stuff, and just always trying to like extend that. I think if you latch onto what you love, I think if there's streamers and whatever it is, if you're into fishing or sports or, you know, or concerts, go to the top. You know, if your mm-hmm. dream is at the top, then just, you know, anime super jump up there. And it might not happen the first time, but anime super jump up there again. The first time that Saves the Day was the first band to be like, yeah, like, we will take you seriously. I don't know if you're familiar with Saves the Day, but I had to lay down on the floor. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, I'm going backstage to Saves the Day. Oh my God. And now they're just friends. Rod, the bassist, did a Christmas spot for me and Owl's Christmas special. You know, like, but use those advantages and jump to the top. I always say life won't wait, and it's just totally relevant. When I went to concerts, I'd look at the people cross arms on stage, on the side and the back of the stage, just like, you know, and I was like in the crowd, I was like, I just want to be up there chilling. I want the little kid in the audience to see me up there and be like, I want to be that. And now I am that. You know, and it's a good feeling. So just latch on to what you love and bring your Twitch with you. People don't not everybody knows what Twitch is yet, and it's really interesting if you're if you don't know what it is. If you do know what it is, it's interesting, but if you don't, it's like, whoa, you play video game, you know. You know the line. You play video game, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Long answers. This is thanks, Dad.
No, we love long answers because everything that you say, I pick up on little things, you know, to mention down the line that, you know, might be important to talk about. And I mean, we're going to move on to it in a moment, but I remember actually raiding your channel just before you were partnered. But we'll talk about that a little bit in a second. So obviously, let's talk about your journey a little bit into the partnership. So what was your journey like, you know, trying to hit that partnership?
I love talking about this because my journey is, I guess, old, the you know, well, let me just answer your question. So I moved in with Owl, and people, you know, there was a week and a half, I think, of me not streaming and moving and getting all my stuff set up and that, blah, blah, blah. And everyone was there for me tenfold when I started it back up. And that helped a lot. Being here, excuse me, I had a retail job and I wasn't able to be as social in, you know, and do my Twitch chores, I guess, and talk to people and things that I really wanted to do, you know, help people with their stuff. And I was going crazy, and everybody, I think, caught on to that and just triple supported me to get me out of there. But as far as getting partner, just it was getting that achievement was just getting really close. And I pushed, you know, I said, you know, there was like over 100 people in my chat for a week and being like, why aren't you partner? Why aren't you partner? And I didn't consider doing a push before, because I've had heard that before when I had like a big, you know, a big host. Everyone's like, oh, dude, he's got to be partner. He's got over 70 people. You know, when they announced the achievements, and this is me as a partner getting it from the achievements that they announced at the first TwitchCon I was at, I was like, here we go. It's going to get gamified, which it is. And, you know, and I feel good knowing that I cultivated a community. I partner pushed because when I first started Twitch, pre-affiliate, I researched Twitch. I researched fail videos. I researched win videos, what you do, what you don't do, things that you definitely don't do. And there was like a bunch of stuff on. And there was just one video that Keemstar put out talking about how viewbotting is like, how it's gotten out of hand, and how when old Twitch streamers used to partner push, they would even use like a 20 spot on the viewbots. Let me just say, I've never viewbotted in my life. But Keemstar talking about the partner push gave me the mentality of that's what you do after high school, you know, in quotes, you know what I mean? After high school, mm-hmm. you go to college. When you get to a certain point, you partner push. So at the time, that was my mentality. I got that achievement. I never thought I would get it. I was super duper emotional, just hitting the achievement. And there's a clip of me on stream freaking out, falling into my chair. And after that, I was like, you know, This is what I do. I partner push. And when I did it, it was amazing. It was emotional. I didn't just yell partner push and let it crowd stage me. Stage dive me to the front. Okay. I made promos on YouTube every week. I reached out to my Facebook friends and family, you know, like who, you know, like us as Twitch streamers, I don't necessarily reach out to my Facebook audience because it's just mostly people I know, and it's just not our demographic for the most part, I think. But I reached out to them in a long post saying like, hey, I never thought I would do this. I've come from a long, you know, history of failing things in college and this and that. And I really can be someone now, so I could really use your help. And people came through. You know, I pushed and I worked at it. I asked some of my band friends to like tweet me out you know? And there's no shame in asking for a little bit of help. Like, and everybody was behind me. It was a big emotional journey, and it was fun, and it was awesome. And I had the community to be ready when I said, I think I'm ready for a partner push and I need everybody's help. Because everybody was there. People came out of the shadows that I hadn't seen in a really long time, and they helped me out. And it's, you know, I am a Twitch partner, but my whole community got it. You know, they all got me there. You know, it's just only motivated me to just make really extra, you know, crazy high quality content, like my little, you know, like my little interim scenes, which I'm trying to make more of. But nowadays, I think pushing gets a really bad rep because people with, like, you know, low averages, they yell partner push like Michael Scott declares bankruptcy. You know, it's not like I declare bankruptcy and then boom. You know, it takes years. It takes a long time of, in my case, streaming for zero people for months. And knowing what to do, knowing what not to do, knowing, you know, what's good and what's not good. I think it only gets a bad rap because people say I can just flip a switch and then the masses are going to come out. And it's not like that. It's not like that.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people seem to have, I mean, you said a lot of stuff in there that we've discussed quite heavily recently. Things like the sort of the gamify, if you like, air quotes, of the partnership achievement.
It's so horrible. Yeah, I know that they're gonna announce something at a TwitchCon, like we're increasing the thing, and Owl thinks, you know, Owl has theories, and we all have theories, and but yeah, continue. Sorry about that.
Because I've been on Twitch for 7 years. This account is 7 years old this year. And, like, one thing that I remember about Twitch back in the day when I used to moderate for some full-time streamers is when you're actually streaming, all that ever mattered was your community. Like, you didn't ever focus on numbers. I mean, you did a little bit just because you knew that Twitch kind of wanted to see your numbers. But at the same time, if you were streaming like a really unsaturated game, like a niche game, if you're streaming like a really, really, really niche game and you've got like a, you know, a good community within that game, then you used to be able to get partnership. It was never about numbers. And then as soon as they brought out the 75 viewership, you know, concurrent viewers, instantly people started turning it into, like, well, you said it, like, you know, just turning it into a game, trying to get, you know, the 75 viewers. You know, people started doing all sorts of shady things, you know, like, I mean, it's not so shady, but follow for follow, lurk for lurk, support communities, all that sort of thing. And there's a lot of support communities that are fantastic and great, but then there's also an equal amount of support communities that are out there. Just.
I mean, so real quick to interrupt, support community. I think that there's a line at the very beginning of someone's Twitch journey. When people are talking about, like, time travel based movies and people or you know, movies about space in the future and stuff, when they're talking about underdeveloped planets that they won't touch yet because they're underdeveloped, you know, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. I think that everybody at some point, and maybe that's not typical, will, you know, someone on their Instagram will say, like, hey, I followed you, follow me back. And, you know, that's like, you know, nowadays the rhetoric is, well, let me tell you what you're doing. But back in, you know, when you have under 50, you know, you're going to not only say, yeah, like, let's follow for follow, but you're probably going to follow that person and get to know their content. At least I did with, like, the six people that I follow for followed back when I had under 50 viewers or followers, excuse me. One of them is my mod. One of them is always the top of my auto host, and he's a really great guy. Lives in Korea, doesn't really understand my English, but one of my good friends. The other four, you know, one never came. The other three, they kind of, like, you know, fizzled and stuff. But I feel like at one point those streamers will realize that that's not going to do anything and use the retweeting Twitter accounts, that, you know, all those bad habits. They'll realize it. And that is when the other streamers, you know, developed planets, will look at them and take them seriously and be like, oh, okay, finally, yes, okay, you're not doing that bullshit. The, I don't know if I can curse, I'm sorry. You're not doing that anymore, but yes, fine, let's come with us now.
Curse
come
away, brother, now. Curse away.
Okay, okay. boob damn boob. so I think, yeah, you know, I think streamers realize these bad habits on their own. And yeah, well, definitely. You know, they should. And it's the ones that don't, they will have no long, really long-term success. You know, they might have a check mark, maybe, but they'll still have no one, you know, there's no community. There's no one in the long run. And there's just no value in that.
Yeah, I mean, there's people at all levels doing everything that you mentioned, like partners that are still using, I don't know if you've heard of the most recent gossip, which is the Community Royale streamers.
I was watching that word like I was trying to like watch myself curse. Oh my God. Joey got you. He said it best yesterday. He said, you guys are so dumb. Like, I'm not going to be mean and insult, but like, there's, it's just like, look at yourself. You know, it's, there's, I can't, I don't even have words. I can't even like materialize words. It's, there's just zero value. It's empty calories. You're eating, you know, it's, I've been in some of those streamers because they are, because they're supporters of me, you know, because they've supported me for a long time. And then I go to them because I sit at my computer. So I'm like, let's see who's live. Let's see who I can bother today. you know, and then I go in there and I see the team and I see the panel and then I see the chat. And then I'll say, you know, say, hey. And then maybe like it's an hour later and I go back and my chat is still the only chat in there. And, you know, they got to know that there's really no value in that. And come time for cons, I think it's going to be either gone or I don't know, something. I don't know. It's I'm just totally not a fan. I am just so not a fan.
I mean, to be fair, though, I mean, like it's been, you know, suggested already, there's no definitive way. Like, if you want to use Riot, like those communities, to achieve partnership and you feel satisfied with that, then go ahead. But as you've said, Duty Beard, that's not going to lead you to any sort of long-term success or any long-term stability, because yeah, you've got, you might use some method to get, say, 70, 100, 200, 1,000 viewers, mm-hmm. but if that platform that you're using to achieve those viewers fails, or you drop out of it, or for whatever reason, you might say, oh, I've got like 1,000 viewers, let's go full-time streaming. But then all of a sudden you realize that 900 of those streamers are actually just, you know, like people that aren't actually invested in your content and invested in your community. They're not going to mm-hmm. give you, and I hate to say it out loud, but unfortunately we have to, because it's kind of, you know, the whole purpose of, well, it's not the whole purpose, sorry, but you know, to live you need money, so you need to rely on your chat, you need to give an experience that's good enough for people to, you know, exchange financial support.
And oh yeah,
if you're mm-hmm. going to be in these sort of communities where you sort of, you're not getting support for all the right reasons, because they actually want to see you succeed or see your community succeed, then you're going to end up with a situation where you're not going to have that financial support, and then you're just going to fall flat on your face as soon as you try and stand, as soon as you let go of,
you're right,
as soon as you take those stabilizers off your bike and you're about to go full time on two wheels. Like any first, if you watch any fail video of a kid trying to learn to ride a bike, they'll just fall over straight away and then cry, yeah. And then you have to put the stabilizers back on, or you just,
yeah,
keep going until you finally succeed, but you've wasted all that time on stabilizers in a certain mm-hmm. sense.
look at how, I mean, Twitch is evolving, you know, obviously in ways of content, but take a look at Dr. Disrespect and Zombie Unicorn. And I think there's a third one, and the Twitch Sings concert, you know, the Twitch Sing Off. Mm-hmm. They're really evolving in what they do. Doc and Zombie Unicorn are now signed with companies for voice acting and acting in commercials and stuff. And I think Doc was just in a commercial. You know, what's after Twitch? You know, hope, you know, people who have these dreams of being the biggest Twitch streamer, the next Ninja, the next this, that's good. I definitely want to be, you know, I want to be one of the bigger personalities on Twitch. Hell yeah. I am totally proud to say that. It's a huge dream of mine. Yeah, but I also have dreams after. I want to get big enough so that, you know, game companies can be like, we want you to be the, you know, the American ambassador to our company. We can be, you know, we can be on TV shows, you know, other kind of journalists. You know, a good friend of mine has been like the lead guy at BuzzFeed forever. And he worked on, you know, TV. He produced TV before that. He produced TV shows and stuff. I can't say which, but you know, he's killing it. He got so big in the TV game that they made him, you know, the head journalist, you know, the head, you know, maybe yellow sometimes journalist to, but he's good. You know, he covers the really good, important NPR-ish stuff. I would, you know, PewDiePie, he has his YouTube channel and his merch, you know, I have my merch and it's, you know, tiny guys compared to what Pewds is, but, you know, I'm having the community and that influence helps you in the long run too. If you're going to royale it to the top and you have like a giant tower filled with renovation, you know, then that future influence is going to mean nothing. Mm. And it's like you say with money, you know, it's just supporting yourself. You know, it's like having a job, getting off of Twitch and getting like a bigger job that can support you. So it's all relative and the community really helps. And if you're just going to empty calorie your way up, then there's just no point. There's no point that, you know, you might as well just keep the retail or the, you know, the job, the IT job that you're at, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like one of those things, isn't it? Because you can, anybody's end game is, you know, anybody can do what the hell they want in life. They can achieve whatever they want on Twitch. And if they want to leave it at just being a full-time streamer, then they can do. I know a lot of people, a lot of stream coaches and things like that will tell you to, you know, step up your game from just being a Twitch streamer to have a good business model and have something that you can, you know, rep on the side, something you can sell on the side sort of thing, mm-hmm. so that you can earn an income alongside that. Like me, for example, at the moment, I'm a freelance photographer. I do a lot of photography for a couple of businesses around the area. And that, yeah, it doesn't make up a wage that would rival, you know, getting a 9-to-5 job. But the difference is that right now I am like freaking loving life compared to, you know, I'm going to work, and I have no disrespect for anybody that does this, but you know, some people go to work 9-to-5, they come home and they're absolutely shattered and they don't really, they say, yeah, work was fine. But in reality, they just wish that they had that one, that golden ticket to get out of there into the opportunity that they want. And I'm sort of trying to build that opportunity. And to be honest, I know we're sat here sort of talking about these, you know, support communities and Royale streamers and whatever. And like you said, we've all made mistakes in the past doing certain things. I mean, I, for one, was somebody that saw a streamer who was starting up a support community. And I sort of saw, oh, well, they're just supporting a mass amount of people. And then those mass amounts of people are supporting them. And I tried to buy into that. And so I started the Twitch Legion, which is a very well-known story on this channel. The Twitch Legion was a support community. I tried to sell it as such. And then I realized the only way I can describe it is I could start to feel the toxic intent behind the support community. And that, coupled with my fiance, who got a different job and her schedule was a lot. She was working from 6 a.m. till 10 p.m. before. Now she's working 9 to 5 in a job that pays more money. So things are going really well, but because of that and because of the way that the community was like sort of morphing into this thing that I didn't really like, and a lot of people were joining just to try and get gains from it rather than give to it, even though that wasn't my intention to start with, I didn't like it, so I stepped away. And then I had this transitional period of where, you know, all of my community, I realized, were just support for support. And it hit me like a truck, you know, come Christmas time, and everything just sort of tanked. And that was my learning experience. So if you're, you know, if anybody's listening to this right now and they've tried doing something that they're maybe, you know, that a lot of people complain about, and you're sort of, you might see sense in it, you might not, you might want to carry on doing it. If you do, then that's fine. But if you do want to stop, then, you know, there's no shame in admitting that you've done wrong. I've done wrong in the past, and I'm sure, well, I don't think Doody has ever not necessarily never done wrong, but he's sort of kept genuine
Well, again, before monetization got all crazy and before the partner achievement got totally gamified, I mean, I was in a small like alert community of 10 friends, and you know, we just, you know, we hung out in each other's chat on browsers and stuff, but I got to know all of them. So not all of them stream anymore. You know, my style of this whole lurking thing, that's that when I sat down after, okay, after TwitchCon, after the first TwitchCon, when I met lots of people, you know, I had a job that let me also stay home and check out people's Twitches. So I would open up 1,000 browsers and you know, but I would talk to them before it was called, before the word lurk was even like a word for it. That's just what I was doing, you know, like I was just like, well, I'm here, I might as well like see everybody. And I think that attributed a lot to my growth. You know, I was able to grow a lot because I was everywhere at all times. I delivered medical weed. So I was on call all day. And there were slow days, and I just got to like hang out and just check out people's channels. And you know, after TwitchCon was just the best because I met so many people that first year. I have a box filled with so many business cards and stickers that I got from that first one. I think that a lot of Twitter narrative puts a lot of downplay on these habits, and it's what you do to make them good habits or bad habits. Because you can check out 25 streams a day and make emotional connections with the streamer in all of them.
Sure, yeah.
But you can also open up 25 browsers and copy paste lurk gotta go, you know, and just like muscle through them. Mm. And I'm guilty of that, you know, when I have to make dinner. You know, I'll pick 5 people who's like, you know, I want to support them, but I totally cannot be at my computer right now. That's not to say I'm going to, you know, open up 100 and, you know, automate, all right, you know, lurk, peace out. Like, I'm just not about that.
Yeah, but, I mean, I might be reading this wrong, though, but you said that you used to open, like, 25 tabs and then talk to them.
But talk to everybody, yeah.
But to me, that isn't necessarily, because you weren't talking to them. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, since we're talking about, you know, whilst we're on the topic of mistakes and things, and feel free to be as open as you want. You weren't talking to those people in hopes that they would come and check you out, though. You were talking to those people just to interact with them. And you've been in my chat a few times and said hello, and we've sort of, you know, said hello backwards and forwards and, you know, caught up with each other, and then you've sort of, you know, gone to do your own thing.
Right.
But your intent, I think it comes down to intentions, right? If your intent is to actually just say hello and build a genuine connection with that person, then you are going to come out with, you know, building a genuine connection with people. There's like a lot of streamers where I'll go and, you know, I'll go and watch them, but not because they come and watch me, but just because, well, we enjoy watching their content. And
exactly.
And exactly. But I think there is a big, like you said, a big Twitter narrative where, you know, people that go to a massive amount of streams and they copy and paste, you know, commands and they just lurk and things like that. You know, it comes down to intent, like you said, and you know, if anybody can, you know, do what they want. We're not saying that any is good or bad. We're just saying that some are going to be better than others for, you know, e-longevity. And yeah, I mean, there's nothing really much else I can add to that. I mean, you kind of
when my first TwitchCon, I was super wide-eyed. You know, when I first got there, when I parked badge pickup day, did you go to TwitchCon Europe, by the way?
No, I didn't. I really wanted to, but I couldn't afford it.
When I got my badge, I parked and I went to badge. There was already like chunks of people already clicked up. And here I was like, I know these other two people that I'm meeting up with tomorrow. I know this person from streams and this person from streams and that's it. But everybody was all clicked up. It was like, wow, all these people know each other already. This is nuts. So my idea was when I got home, I remember I was like, I'm going to meet all these people. I'm going to follow up with all these people. This is going to be great. I remember like my Instagram a year and a half ago, I was just like had it like all my cards like laid out. I was, and some people didn't even stream after that first TwitchCon. I follow them and they never even turned it on once. That's so funny. But yeah, I anybody who was on, I wanted to see what they were about. You know, there were even a few people who were doing like TwitchCon review, like going to the channel live and saying, I met this person. Da, 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 da. And I think my first year of sitting down in my free time and like checking everyone out, it, for the most part, I wanted to be social and I wanted to make a lot of friends with everybody. You know, it was one thing going to TwitchCon and not knowing everyone and getting to meeting everybody. But this year at TwitchCon or 18, me and Owl took two steps before somebody stopped us. And it was awesome. It was really, really, really awesome. And it was because of all that, you know, because of all the networking and you know, and meeting everybody I did, it was totally, totally attributed to that. And now it's just a lot different. Community's bigger. I still have time to check people out. I use a lot of that time to Discord call people mostly. You know, nowadays people want advice on their streams and I don't have all the answers, but I'm very happy to give them perspective and that kind of stuff. And then, yeah, the other part of the day is turning on the lights and filming stuff to edit. And that's a pain in the ass.
But yeah, you mentioned that you, you know, that you spend a lot of time in Discord and stuff and networking. I mean, What would your, we've got a bit more to talk about before we get into the advice bit, but I just want to know what your sort of biggest, and you mentioned as well that you give a, you know, people will ask you about, you know, their channels and stuff. What's sort of the common thing that you see cropping up when you're giving people advice and things when you do?
A lot of, almost 100% of the time I'm giving them Twitter advice and engagement. Rarely the people who ask for advice are fully good about Twitter, or they're unfamiliar. They're not engaging a lot or at all. I show them this tweet that Owl made a while ago that I really like. I tell them like, you know, some good steps on getting into the conversation in Twitter. Some other common things I see are, some other common things I see are people saying like, yeah, I did this. It wasn't working for me. So I did this. It wasn't work. You know, they'll quit. They'll quit and move to a site where it's easier. You know what I'm talking about? Where it's easier to grow, where averages are lower and it's just a weird site. Mixer, and they quit. They give up really easily. They give it 1 month, 3 months, 5 months, and they just give up. This to you guys. They just straight up give up. Take Rass, for example. Dude has one of the most best Instagrams and really high quality screen, like on screen and content I've seen. And he really pushes that Insta a lot. His are in my feed a lot. And, you know, that kind of social stretch is really good. And he has a really good grasp of that. Other things that come in commonly that people, I mean, just more on that, the thing of giving up is there are people who make partner fast. There are people who, you know, who can, for some reason, bust out the door with 20, 50 average viewers when, for some reason, maybe the person at home is worried that they're not really breaking 10. And that happens, but either way, besides it's a marathon, not a race, besides that mantra, you know, work on yourself, you know, definitely take the time to look at your VODs and work on yourself. And that's another thing that I always tell people, to work on yourself, you know, excuse me, improve little tiny cosmetic things, what sounds good, what can sound better. There's a lot. It's a huge answer because everybody is different and, you know, everybody, and again, there's not one way to do everything, but there's a lot of common threads that people, I guess, ask me when seeking some kind of advice.
It's interesting that you mentioned, you know, Twitter being a big area that you give advice on, because I know just before we started the podcast, one of my intentions is to start doing YouTube videos. Now, I used to do gaming videos, but I kind of wanted to try and branch into doing educational videos, but doing out sort of, not necessarily out of the box, because they've been sort of done before, but I kind of wanted to step away from generic streaming advice videos and try and do like tutorial videos. Like, for example, there's an app now, I can't remember the name of it because my phone's dead, but there's an app on my phone where you can download the Twitch, not through the app, you just download a Twitch clip on your phone and then you just load it into the app, and then it gives you the opportunity to like write text above and below it, and it adds like a white border to it. And I wish my phone wasn't dead, and I'd be able, I think it's like called InShot. I think it's called InShot or something. And I really want to do a video on that and just talk about, you know, how you can use that to, you know, give context to your clips on Twitter. Because one thing that people do is that they post clips on Twitter, you know, trying to get the content out there. But a lot of people scrolling through their timeline aren't ever really going to stop and, you know, they're not going to click on a clip, so they're not going to get the sound. But if you're kind of relying on the sound, then you can use this app to add like subtitles, and you can give it like a catchy bold title, and it gives you the ability to pretty much just add your own subtitles. Yes, it's a bit finicky, and yes, it does take a little bit of time, but obviously, like anything in life, it needs a bit of work. And if you do it, then you can, you know, you've got a nice, for example, say you've got a Fortnite clip or a gaming clip where you've said something really funny and really witty, you can give it a title and be like, yeah, you can be as clickbaity as you want, that's entirely up to you. You could just give it a title, you know, I can't believe that I just said this or whatever, and then you can literally add the subtitles, you can type in your own subtitles to it for the thing that you said. So when people are scrolling past on their timeline, they don't actually have to click into your video to get the actual value that the clip is trying, that you're trying to get across. So it gives you an even better chance to catch that person's eye. And I really wanted to do a video on that. But since you said that a lot of your advice is Twitter based, maybe me and you could convene more.
There's more to that, though. There's more. I'm not saying that YouTube is a bad route. YouTube's a great route. YouTube is like the extra credit route for us, Twitch streamers, I guess. My mantra, and I think my community knows this at this point, is like, if Twitch is the job, then Twitter is the commute to the job. And all the other social medias have like their place in our world. For much bigger social influencers like Paris Hilton or what's the other guy? The Fat Jewish. They're like, they're like any social media they want base. They just have that power. But for us, our Twitter is like our commute. Our Insta is, you know, is like a little tiny stretch because it doesn't stretch a lot. It keeps people who follow your Insta well informed, but your Twitter is really your megaphone. I feel like 60% of your audience will be kind of following there and following what you do from there. I find that TikTok now is, it hasn't, I'm waiting for like the vein where it's, or making one funny video on it that it really funnels people in. But that's kind of what the idea is, making funny content on TikTok because it's kind of popular and hoping that'll get like one or two followers nowadays on average, being like, hey, I saw your video on TikTok. You know, hopefully it's just a way to stretch out a little bit. But Twitter's important. You know, I think if you're engaging a lot on Twitter by the daily, then people really... If they haven't followed you yet on Twitch, but they see you often on Twitter, then they probably will come around eventually. A lot of people I've followed on, I follow nowadays on Twitch are just the people who, you know, the Mike James, Poxers, this person all liked this tweet. And it's this same person who keeps coming up over and over and over again. So it's like, all right, well, if everyone else in my community likes him, let's see what they're about. So Twitter really helps in that sense.
Sorry to interject there. When I was talking about Twitter, obviously I wasn't saying that Twitter is the only platform. Like I don't know if you're aware of Gary V, who has a wine business and a couple of other. He's got like a huge online business, and he's like a social media guru, if you like. And he's just an absolutely great, positive guy. He says that you should be on like every platform ever. Now I kind of agree with you. Like I think Instagram only has like a certain reach for our sort of area of the creative industry and the gaming industry. Mm-hmm. I think that you're very limited on Instagram if you don't have like picture perfect looks as a person. It's very limited to what you can do. I don't mean that in any disrespect, but yeah, YouTube and Twitter is. You know, just two great tools. And that's why, you know, I mentioned about making YouTube videos myself, because I used to do them before I used to stream on Twitch, but I wanted to get into it again because it's a good way for people, because it's like one of the biggest search engines in the world. So if you create content that's going to cater to things that people are searching on YouTube, so, you know, if you sort of get your videos around that, you know, searchable element, if you like, then you're going to end up with people searching on YouTube, finding your video, and then coming, you know, following your Twitch and coming in when you're live. And I see it all the time with people like Ashley Christ, who does all these like Twitch advice videos and things. You see literally about 20-30 people every single stream coming in and being like, oh yeah, you know, I saw your latest YouTube video, and I'm so glad I could catch you live, etc., etc. So the reason why I was sort of saying like you mentioning Twitter so much was because, you know, I kind of wanted to kickstart off, you know, like I mentioned with the whole app that I mentioned, and using it with Twitter is just one good thing that you can do on Twitter to expose your content to more people. And I was sort of saying that maybe me and you could collaborate on a form of video to deliver to people on Twitter, you know, the sort of generic, not the generic advice, but, you know, the advice that you tend to see quite a lot and things like that. I don't know. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't some sort of collaborative thing we could do there, but maybe we'll have to discuss that later on.
Yeah,
but,
fam, I'd be down.
But yeah, let's switch things up just a tiny bit now, because we've spoken a lot about advice. And I know this is like the point where I'd like to ask you about your future, and we've kind of already touched on it. You know, you kind of want to expand from Twitch and get into other things. But I do want to go back to mention about that show that you've spoken about, because obviously that is what you're in development at the moment. So can you tell us about that show that you've got planned?
The musical?
Yeah, the musical.
The musical is going to be live, obviously. It's me and Owl and two other streamers, Argamenmok and Batman Marth Z, and maybe Convict too, if he wants to come down. We all live by each other. So basically I have my desktop side here where I'm in front of my computers, and then there's the other side of my room, which is green screen, more lights, and studio space, and a TV on the floor so I can read chat and look at my alerts and stuff as they come in. So basically, we're going to write a musical. It could, you know, it might be rags to riches. It might be really generic, like a musical thing because we haven't done one. But what, you know, we have one funny scene in mind, but we're going to use Twitch Sings music so it doesn't get muted. So we can integrate a great category on Twitch and do something wildly original. The only thing that I've ever seen as far as a narrative is a while ago, Tyler One did like Day in the Life of Tyler One. And it was cool. It was like, you know, I'm in this green screen scene. Now I'm in this green screen scene. Now I'm in this one. You know, when we did our Christmas special, it was like, it was really, we had members of the community send us in like, hi, thank you for inviting me to the Christmas Jamboree, like, you know, really TV, really campy, you know, and there was a narrative. We didn't really respond to chat until one specific part in the stream when we were doing like a food thing. But other than that, it was straight up narrative. It was just, we're like putting off like a skeleton of lines that we did. And, you know, we were just kind of acting in front of the green screen with scenes that Owl put together. And so the musical is going to be that plus more, higher production value, cameos from the community, maybe not this time, but I mean, you know, I'm never satisfied with like, you know, doing one special and then it's over. And, you know, I always have to do another special with extra shit. So yeah, it's going to be really fun. It's going to be really crazy. It's going to be, you know, just, plus everyone loves Twitch Sings. There's a lot of songs now. There's tons of songs now. And now it's a huge community because now it's available. So we'll probably get into it in a few months now that it's, you know, widely available.
Yeah.
But it's about thinking outside the box and doing these things to really, you know, to really push your content and to tell your community like, hey, I'm not just going to be playing games every day in the same spot. I'm going to be doing, you know, extra shit and thinking of like the next big thing, you know, whatever it is, as far as, you know, what I'm limited to in my house.
Yeah. I saw that, Twitch Things tweeted that, to celebrate the release, they're going to be releasing, I think, one new song every day in April or something.
That's so amazing.
There's going to be a lot of songs on there, you know, in the coming, you know, coming months. But I did want to sort of just ask something, and I don't mean this with any sort of malcontent or anything. I just wanted to get your honest opinion. Is that if you try this music show, this musical, and you get all this cash around, you put all this work. Like, what's going to deem that a success for you? How are you going to feel if that, you know, maybe if your community doesn't dig it? Like, are you still going to do it? Are you going to try and push it? Or, like...
Yeah, I'm confident that, you know, me and Owl and Arga and Bats will be really happy with what we come up with. We already have one idea. All we have is the opening... song, like not even scene, just the song that we're going to use in the opening and an idea for like midway through. And the opening has a lot of dynamic, which is cool. But the middle part that we have thought is just really, really, really funny, I think. I think that whatever we come up with beyond the rest of that, we are going to be really happy with. And I think the fact is that, you know, we have all these VODs of me playing this and playing this game and this game and this game. But then you come across a VOD that it's like Duty Beard the musical. And, you know, you skim through it and it's like, what the hell? This is totally different. You know, I'm doing something different. We're all trying something different. And you have to be willing to do what people are afraid of doing. Because if you're not, then... you know, just, again, the way that Twitch is evolving, you're just going to get saturated down, and you need to rise above, even because people, I used to be, have the willies about putting on a costume before stream, you know, now sometimes I'll change three times during a stream. And it was that first hump when I did Goof Troop on Super Nintendo, when me and my friend dressed up like Goofy and Max, just getting the confidence to do that. I had to like really conjure, like, you know, you got to do what people are afraid to do. You got to do what people are afraid to do. And then I just rushed out to the thrift store, got the costume, and it was a success. It was a fun, that was a good one. And we beat Goof Troop. It's one of the hardest games on Super Nintendo. That was so hard to do. We exploded when we beat that game. It was great. So yeah, you know, as far as it being a success, I know my community wants to watch it. But yeah, I don't think there really could be, it could be a failure if Comcast swoops in and says, nah, then it would be a failure. If they shut my internet down, if my PC explodes, if we don't pull it off, if we get lazy, then it's a failure. But if we do it to the best that we can, then it's a success.
So you're not really too fussed about like viewer numbers or anything like that. Like it's just how you feel.
Glance at my numbers twice a stream. You know, it's hard to not want to know. It is, I guess, a reminder of, you know, it's not always a reminder of how well you're doing. I had a really great night numbers wise yesterday. And I sucked in Smash. I did worse in Smash Brothers than I ever did yesterday. I played games when I played Harvester, a really weird indie old retro game. You know, numbers were like, I guess, lower than what my average says, but it was still like one of the more fun streams. I glance at it just to know what I'm, you know, how I'm, what it's looking like. And I think that's fine. But do I focus on it? No. That's Sildil.
No, I thought I'd ask the question, you know, if anybody has.
That's just my answer. I'm not so worried about it. I'm more worried on my content and making new things, new surprises for the stream. I have one scene with Bryce from the Spill Canvas. He says like Duty Beard sucks, and I made a little scene out of it, and I have like three or four special scenes like that, and I myself am bored of them. I want to make like triple the amount of those so I can always have something surprising. Bajo Stream, one of my favorite streamers, he has so many things that he could do, like a special screen shit. He could do it like 25 times without repeating one, you know, and I want something like that. I just need more. I need more production for myself.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've kind of discussed every, like, your sort of journey, you know. I mean, we mentioned briefly about, you know, you wanting to, you know, push ahead from Twitch eventually down the line and, you know, become maybe like a brand rep for the USA and things like that. And, you know, it's great to hear people when they want to push beyond Twitch, you know, to try and expand themselves beyond just streaming games all the time, which is a perfectly viable thing to do if you want to do that. But it's great to hear it from somebody like yourself that, you know, is actively wanting to push above that. But I mean, if there's anything else that you think you wanted to talk about, anything that you feel that you had in mind that I might not have asked about, I mean, you know, there's going to be hopefully the chance to in the future to get you and New Owl on together,
where we can speak
about, you know, the whole relationship dynamic and things. And that's kind of why I didn't really want to touch upon it too much today, because I wanted to leave that for you know, part three. Yeah,
you gotta keep it. That's a good point that you're making. You got to keep some content exclusive. Convict. I saw Convict TTV at Soba, and I had this idea that I thought was going to blow his mind. And I was said that in two streams. I said, I have this idea. I want you a part of it. Da, 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 da. And I said, all right, Convict, about this idea. And before I opened my mouth, he said what it was. He goes, is it this? And I was like, yes, it is exactly that. And, you know, it's okay to, I guess it's, if you're going to be, if you're going to live in fear and like hold your cards close to your face, that might not be the best idea. It's okay to like share some ideas and have different versions of what other people want. But it's like, you know, it's like what you want to do with keeping me and Owl in one podcast for later. It's like, you got to keep the goods, you know, you got to keep it kind of exclusive. That's what I do with, you know, that's why I delay a lot of releases with my shirts and stuff. But also Butt Juice asked me, about my overlays. I get asked this a lot and I get told that there's too much stuff on my overlay. You know, I made it to partner with a niche beside, you know, a community and a niche. And my niche was doing what I wanted to do and following what I wanted. When I started, I just recently made my game full screen. Before that, I had like the border, the corner border, and a green screen kind of a deal. And I had a lot of information in the border. I'm always trying to condense my craziness, but keep the craziness. I'm trying to make all of the crazy things that pop and poke out of everywhere organic. I still want emotes flying all over the place, but I want it to look like they're coming at, like I have like the weird face on my screen. I want the emote, you know, bits come out of my nose into the jar, the bit boss is hanging from my other nostril. I want emotes to come out of the ear. I want the alerts. I want things to come out of the orifices for alerts, you know, in a clean way. I want confetti to come out of the nose, you know. I want everything to be organic. I like the craziness, but I know the farther I go and the quality that I want to achieve, I know if I just have every little last thing that's given to me that I can pop on my stream, people are going to get like really oversaturated. It's going to look like an ad. It's going to look like the TVs look like an Idiocracy with ads all around the borders, even if they're not ads. You know, I'm always looking at my VODs. I'm trying to control the craziness, controlled chaos, as I like to call it. And that's, again, goes into more scenes, you know, trying to get more scenes, like my stream deck. I'm trying to get that to work where it's like one button for a lot of stuff. And I don't know, it's thinking, again, it goes into thinking outside the box, taking the tools that Twitch has given to you, whether it's Streamlabs overlays, Stream Elements overlays, the nerd or die slide, social media slider, you know, it's those tools times or divided by, you know, compare it to what you want. And if the tools don't match up with what you want, then you take what you want and you figure out how.
Yeah. I mean, I want to start wrapping things up, but you just said something there. And if I was like somebody rude that interrupted everybody all the time, I probably would have just screamed when you said it, because I had you probably saw me in the corner of the eye, like bowing down. You said that you wanted to follow, you didn't want to follow like a set path. You wanted to like kind of do what you wanted to do. You know, when people mentioned that your overlay is a bit too busy, and you said, oh, well, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And that inside me, I could have like fangirl screamed at that. because I just love when people, you know, try and tell people to be different. And, you know, I am not different enough yet, but I'm still discovering my path. Anybody can look at me and ask me about my journey, and I'll openly tell them that I'm in this limbo at the moment of trying to discover who I am and what direction I want to go in and things. And I just loved it when you said that you just wanted to do what you wanted to do rather than following what everybody else wanted you to do. And I could have, like, that will probably be the entire clip that I use to like sell the entire podcast next week when it goes up on Wednesday. Cause oh my God, that was just beautiful.
I appreciate that. And it's true. You know, like I think we rated one of Guinea Pig Gamer's friends. And she's just one of the Silly Boys and Owl Scouts. And I don't even think they had 100 follows or 200 follows, but they had like a whole variety show, like, and now to this person. And it was very homemade DIY, like production value will boost the longer they're at it. But it was very early. It was very like, you know, primitive and like, we want to do this, so we're just going to use what we have. And it was just so awesome. And they're doing it. And quality is only going to like boost, and it's going to like look like a real news variety show. It was so rad. And I appreciate that a lot. You know, doing things differently is what I always is just, it's just in my blood. You know, I was told in my ska band that your music is garbage for a long time, We were the band that got no respect, and no, nobody quit. We just made newer, better songs. We added the shittiness to our niche. Our website was Duty Beards, Not For Resale was my band name. Our website was notforresalesucks.com. You know, we owned it. We did different things, and we succeeded. In my eyes, we were a local success. We didn't really get big, but we were a local success.
I mean, that is the best way that I could possibly think to end the podcast today. So thank you, Duty Beard, for coming on and speaking to us. Hopefully you'll have some time to stick around and answer some questions and just interact with those that have come out to listen to us live on Twitch. But thank you for coming on. Have you got any last words? If not, would you like to go ahead and tell people where they can find you and where they can find your content?
You can find me shooting new owl hoodies with Nerf blasters on her channel, or you can see me normally late night during the week. I'm flipping everything. So during the week, starting tomorrow, I'll be daytime and late night will be on the weekends. Normally it's opposite, but I it's something that I never get to do. So I'm doing it this week. And I really appreciate your time so much, Mike James. Is it just Mike, or should I just say Mike James?
Just call me Mike.
Okay.
Mike James, that guy, the guy with the patchy beard, whatever the hell you want to call me, just call me it.
Mike James. I'm just going to add Bob on the end. Mike James, Bob. I really do appreciate you taking me on your show. It's really fun. And yeah, just asking me those questions, it was really fun. So thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, guys that are in the Twitch chat right now. I'm going to go ahead and give him a quick shout out in the chat. So if you'd like to go and follow him, then you can click on the link, or you can go to twitch.tv/Judybeard and follow him there. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And that concludes episode number 11. Guys, thank you so much for listening this week. We don't have any shout outs this week. However, I would like to just give you or ask you a quick favor. If you can head over to youtube.com/TheMikeJames, check out my newest YouTube video that just released yesterday. Please leave it a like, leave it a comment, let me know how I can improve, let me know if there's anything that you'd like me to do. Anyway, guys, thank you so much, and have a wonderful week, and I will see you next week, guys.